Amen. If you would, just lift your hands right where you are. Now here we are, Lord, once again, in need of a word from you. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way, Lord, in a dark, decaying, confused world. Your word illuminates the way, Lord. We pray now that your word would not only get into our minds, but it would get into our hearts.
Yes.
And as a result, it would affect the way that we live.
Yes.
And that we would allow your word and your Holy Spirit to help us as we navigate through the situations and the circumstances and the issues, the ups and downs, the successes, the failures of our life. Lord, we want your word to guide us in every aspect of our life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Speak to us through your word, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. As we are on our lesson, Knowing God. So we're speaking today on knowing God and knowing your heart. Knowing God and knowing your heart. It's good to see you all this morning. You all look extremely good.
Thank you.
Happy December. Happy December 8th to you. And South Bay Abundant Life family, I love you very much. Amen. I thank God for you all being here on today. One of the announcements that was not read was for our young adults. Our young adults ages like 18 to 25. And so we're going to have a meeting, I believe it's on the 29th, with our young adults, 18 to 25. We're starting a ministry. We're going to plug them into a ministry, and we thank God for them. For those of us who would like to be 18 through 25, we'll have to do something else for you. Amen. But we thank God for our young adults, and we have about 7-8 of them here. Going to tap into them and help them to make disciples and build the kingdom of God as well. Amen.
Amen.
Did I say 1 Chronicles 29?
Yes.
And I'll read. You don't have to stand for the reading of the word because we're going to get right into it. I'll pick up where we left off last week. I'll read verses 17 and 18. It says, I know also, my God, that you try or you test the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy the people which are present here to offer willingly unto you. Verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination and the thoughts of the heart. Make sure you underline, every time you see heart, make sure you underline that if you haven't already. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people and prepare their heart unto you. And I'll read verse 19 as well. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Amen.
Amen.
So as we talk about knowing God and knowing your heart, so much to talk about. Verse 17, we see that God will test your heart to see where you're at. Sometimes you're going through things and it's not because of what you've done. It's because God is testing your heart so you can see where you really are. Sometimes we can fool ourselves and think we have it all together and that we don't have to deal with this issue anymore. And then someone says something or does something, we realize, wow, God, I'm not as far as I thought I was.
Yes,
yes, yes. I'm not as saved as I'm pretending to be.
Yes.
Not as holy as I thought I was. So God will test your heart. And so you don't, again, don't get mad at people. Don't get upset with people because it could be God using them to test your heart.
Yes.
The only thing that separates us from people that aren't Christians is how we respond. If I have a heart of God, I respond differently than someone who does not have a heart that's after God. Amen?
Yes, yes.
So it always comes down to our heart. It could be God. Think about your boss, your supervisor, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. It could be God using them to test your heart.
Yes.
Don't be upset with people. Forgive people. Let that go.
Yes.
And say, God, what are you saying in this situation? God, what are you speaking to me in this situation?
Yes.
It's God knocking on the door of your heart, trying to see where you're at, he said, because he has pleasure in uprightness. God wants to test your heart to make sure that you're right, that you're living right.
Yes.
Stop fighting against circumstances and people. God is testing your heart because he wants you to live right, because when you live right, it makes a difference, all the difference in the world.
Yes.
God wants us all living right.
Yes.
Then verse 18, he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel and our fathers. Now, remember, this is David's prayer. So we're privy to the prayer of David. We're eavesdropping on his prayer. Matter of fact, it's his prayer before he dies. And this is what he's praying for. Here we are, December 8th. If it was our last week, what would we pray for? We'll be praying for the heart of the people. Would we? What will we be doing? Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bring it back. I know your mind just went everywhere right there. Bring it on back. Keep it holy. All right. Amen. What would we be praying for? He said, keep this forever in the imaginations of the heart of your people. And the imaginations, he said, in the intellectual, when you break that down in the Hebrew, that's the intellectual framework. God, keep all that you've done for us in our intellectual framework. Don't let other stuff come in and try and take you out. This is his prayer for the people. Keep it in their intellectual framework. And he says, not just for now, but he says, keep this how long? Forever. That's continuous. That's throughout. Always, forever, regardless of what goes on in your life, keep in your intellectual framework. Don't get too smart for God. Don't let your circumstances cause you to forget about what and who God is.
Yes.
Keep it always in your intellectual Rolodex, who God is. As you start going through things, who do you need to call? Oh, I need to call God.
Yes, yes.
That's his prayer, that God, regardless of what happens in their life, that in their mind, they will always remember who you are.
Yes.
That's David's dying prayer for the people of God. And then verse 19, he says, give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect, that word perfect being translated in the Hebrew to loyal. Give them a loyal heart that's committed to God. We talked about it last week. So parents, that's the great liberator. What do we pray for our kids? We pray for them to have a loyal heart, not for stuff, not for money, not for a job, not for a career. Because if God has my son and my daughter's heart, then I know that God has them.
Yes, 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 yes.
And they have God.
Yes.
It's the best place we could be, Brother Kurt, is giving God our heart.
Yes.
And then when the stuff comes, we know what to do with it. What's the point of having stuff without God? We talked about a little of it this week. So, hey, let's make this sort of like a pre-Christmas message. What's the point of having stuff as we're going out and shopping and giving gifts and fighting folks over big screen TVs and stuff?
Black Friday.
Get a black eye on Black Friday. I don't think that's what they meant by Black Friday, Black Eye Friday. We read last week, and make a note of it because we're not going to turn there today. We read last week in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we went all the way in from 1 to 23, and we talked about the things that Solomon had, because Solomon started out right and then his heart went wrong. So, family, we can start off right. That's why he said keep it continually in their hearts and their minds. Despite what we go through, we can never forget who God is and what he's done for us.
Yes.
The word says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just because our situation gets a little tough, or even when we succeed and we're on top of the world, doesn't mean that God has stopped being God. We have to keep it in our minds continually who God is and all that he's done for us.
Yes.
And Solomon was, he started off right, but then he got wrong. He got distracted. And let me show you another example. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And we're going to focus a little bit on the life of Solomon, because he prayed specifically for his son to have a loyal heart. And that's my prayer for my daughters, my two daughters, and my son. And I asked you, I challenged you all last week to do that. I prayed for them every day from Sunday to Sunday that God would give them a loyal heart. I believe my prayers are being answered, because it says the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. We're righteous through the blood of Jesus. So you're covered by the blood of Jesus. You've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Believe what you're praying. I prayed that God would give my wife a loyal heart, not to me, not to the church, but to him. Because if you give your heart and it's loyal to God, then everything else is all right. You're treating people the way that you want to be treated. You're living the way that you should. You're asking for forgiveness. You're confessing your sins because your heart is dialed into God's heart. Pray that for 7 days. I'm going to challenge you again. Pray for 7 more days. Pray for your grandkids. That God would give them a loyal heart as they're navigating through this mess we call the world. Oh, it's a mess. You know it is. But if God can get their heart, then they'll be all right. It's their choice to stay with God, as we'll find out with Solomon. Solomon started off right, but then he went left. What they say, make sure you better get right before you get left.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. What a bad day if Jesus come back and we're not right and we get left. Amen.
Amen.
Did I say 2 Chronicles chapter 9?
Yes.
So this is the backdrop. The Queen of Sheba. The queen, she's one of the queens in Ethiopia. She comes to visit Solomon. And Solomon, we know he was the wisest man that ever lived, but he decided that he wanted stuff more than God. And so here we are, Merry Christmas. Do you want stuff or do you want God? Because Solomon had it all, but then we read last week how he got depressed because he had all this stuff, but he had turned his back on God. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He wants to be above the stuff.
Yes.
God doesn't mind us having nice things. That's okay. But if nice things have you, that's a problem.
Yes.
If stuff has you, that's a problem. If you can't live without stuff, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't live without God, that's a blessing. That's where you need to be at.
Yes. Yes.
So here we are. Let's just take a peek at what some of the stuff that Solomon had. I did say 2 Chronicles 9,
yes, sir.
Verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove or to test Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. With a very great company, she came with her entourage and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart, underline heart. So she came with spices. She came with precious stones. So make a note. You never approach the king without an offering. You don't come and see the king empty handed. We serve the King of Kings. So I don't care if it's a penny. I don't care if it's a nickel. But you never come and don't have some type of offering for God.
Amen.
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 I'm just checking to see if this was still on. We serve the King of Kings.
Yes.
And we should always come. And it's not about the amount. It's about your heart. Remember, the lady had two mites. Jesus was watching just like he's watching now. She put in her two pennies. These other guys were putting in thousands of dollars. And he told his disciples, I tell you the truth, that she gave more than they did.
Amen.
And they thought Jesus couldn't count. They wanted to send him to math class. He said, no. He's looking at their heart. So it's not the amount, but here we see right here, she's coming to the king. He's a natural king. We serve the King of Kings. She say, look, there's no way I'm coming to the king without something.
Yes.
Verse 2, and Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from her, from Solomon, which he had told her not. Verse 3, and when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the food of his table and the seating of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, they were decked out. His cupbearers also, their apparel and his ascent are the entryway by which he went up to his house of the Lord. There was no more spirit left in her. She walked into his, what do you call it? The foyer, the entryway. And she said, I said, it was no more spirit. She fainted. Just the way this cat's house looked. Now, I got excited because Jesus told us in John 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I said, whoa, what is that going to look like? We're going to go to heaven and go, oh, God, you're too much. If Solomon can build that, what is God has for us? Amen. We're going to go there and faint. Amen. Thank God for that. This cat Solomon is out of control. Verse 5, and she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land of your acts and your deeds and of your wisdom. She said, how be it? I believe not their words until I came. She said, they told me all this stuff about you, but I didn't even believe it. And she said, and I came and I seen it with my own eyes. Look at verse 6. She said, and behold, the one half of your greatness, of the greatness of your wisdom, was not told to me. The little bit they told her, she didn't believe. And she got there and they didn't even tell her half the story. Wow. She said, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. You exceeded the stuff that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants, which stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. And look what she says. She says, blessed be the Lord God, which delighted in thee to set up his throne. See, who sets us up? Remember, it's in God's hand to make great and to give strength unto all. She's blessing God, and that's what she did, what Solomon was supposed to do. He was supposed to turn around and give the glory to God.
Yes, yes.
But he got confused, and he went astray. But she had enough sense to recognize that it's all about God. Look what God has done for you.
Yes.
And then she glorified God, and that's what Jesus said, I believe, in Matthew 5, where he said, let your light so shine that people might see the good works in you and glorify God.
Yes, yes.
People say, man, look at your life. Look what God has done. Wow.
Yes, yes.
I need to know more about this God. Mm. So I say, let your light shine. Yes. It's not so much what we say, it's just how we live our lifestyle, where people see it, they go, wow, it's something different about you. And you take them right here like she did in verse 8. Blessed be thou the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne. Solomon, that's not your throne, that's God's throne. And we're in a position of power. That's not us. That's God setting us up. God set us there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Says to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore he made you king over them to do justice, judgment, and justice. Yes. That's what this whole thing is about. God set you up. Don't look at your stuff and think you set yourself up. It's God who set us up.
Amen.
I don't care what we have, what we don't have. We can't look at it and think we're in control of it. God has set us up.
Yes.
Verse 9. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Now look, underline this. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. So what is that saying? She gave him something that nobody else could.
Yes.
All right. So let's make it plain for us. She gave the king something that nobody else could. And so God is telling us the worship that we give God, we don't give that to nobody else. It's always something special that's reserved for the king. I give my worship. I don't worship anything but Jesus. Now, I do love sports, but I don't worship. I like the Lakers, but I don't worship the Lakers. All right. That's reserved. I give that to God. I give it to nobody else. And I'm always calling Tracy over when we're watching a game. What was it? Monday night, it was Seattle or whoever was on there. Face was painted there. I said, Tracy, I bet that's the guy in church sitting down not saying nothing. I say all the time, I say, Tracy, look at this. They got their face painted. Ah! And then they come to church. Watch when you watch some of the football games, just check it out. Watch them today. They got a good one on, what's that, San Francisco and Seattle. Watch and see. And see, I guarantee you, I will not praise a team more than I praise my God.
Yes.
I will not praise a promotion more than I praise God.
Yes.
I will not get excited about anything more than I get excited about God. That's only reserved for God. There's certain things that only God gets.
Amen.
That's because God has my heart. That's because God has your heart.
Yes.
She gave what nobody else could give, the King. And that's where you and I, you give it to God and nobody else. Verse 10. And the servants also of Huram and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. Verse 11, and the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers. They were having a big party, and there were none such seen before in the land of Judah, being praised. And they were worshiping and praising God on the instruments. Amen. Just like we did this morning. Amen. And then look what the king did in verse 12. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which she had brought. So what she brought, he gave her that, and then he gave her more. Isn't that like the king? That's why when you come and give to God, say, God, I trust you, and I know you're going to bless me. He gives you what you had, and then he gives more.
Yes.
That's knowing God, knowing the God, and giving God your heart. Yes. You can trust God like that. I mean, verse 12 again. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. What a visit. What a visit. Now, look, let's go to Luke. I want to show you something in Luke chapter 12. This is sort of like I said, you know, as we're thinking about gifts and giving, don't forget God. Don't forget that we don't know the exact date. We're way past that. But we do know that Jesus was born, and we celebrated in December, and I'm cool with that. And we give gifts, and we give gifts to God. So this is, like I said, it's kind of like my pre-Christmas message. I just want to slide it in, because now is the time you're buying. When I talk to you right before Christmas, you're already in debt and all jacked up and stuff. So I want to catch you before that, okay? I want to catch you before you go over the edge, okay? Keep it in perspective. Don't lose it. It's not about that. I want to try and catch you on December 8th. December 20th is too late. Now say Luke chapter 12. And look at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, one of the crowd, speaking from the crowd, said to him, Master, a teacher, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. I like Jesus. He's so straight up. And he said unto him, man, you better get out of my face. I mean, he said, no. He said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? So who made me divide in what you have? But he broke it down in verse 15. He said unto them, take heed. He said, you better beware of being greedy. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. Somebody on the line that and say, amen.
Amen.
Jesus is telling them, your life does not consist on what you have, consist of what you have or what you don't have. Merry Christmas. Amen. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. All right. And our kids, make sure you write that down. OK, so when you open those gifts and you don't have what you thought you had, amen. Then we're going to have this is what we're going to study on Christmas morning, honey. And the kids are right there. Kids want a Bible study right before Christmas and that one gift that you're going to get. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, of being greedy, for a man's life, and that's mankind, man, our woman's life consisted not in the abundance of things which you have. And you know, Jesus, he's always teaching. So in 16, it says, and he spoke a parable unto them. Ha! Let me tell you a story. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits of my goods. I'm going to just build this big old barns and just put them all in there. And verse 19, and then I'm going to say to my soul, man, you got so much stuff laid up for you for all these years, for the rest of your life. You got a retirement account. Oh, watch out now. I'm going to work myself to death and build up my retirement account, and then I'm going to enjoy life. Come on now. No, you better enjoy life now. Because we studied, those of you who weren't here, we already studied that our life is just a shadow, a shade, a mist and a vapor. For that, we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. This guy, he's saying, I will. Look at verse 19. He said, I will. Not if the Lord wills, but he said, I will. That's why in James, I believe that was chapter 4 or 5, he said, we should say, if the Lord wills.
Yes, yes.
Because we can't will to do nothing.
Amen, amen.
Verse 19, he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Man, kick back, eat, drink, and have a party. Verse 20, somebody underline, but God.
But God.
Hey, that's the good news and the bad news. Some things it says, you know, we were headed the wrong way, but God. That's the good, but God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But God and his grace and his mercy. But right here, he's then said this. Jesus is telling the story. He's breaking it down so the whole crowd can hear. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. This night, somebody underline this night. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, underline this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So you see the difference there. He didn't have a problem with you being rich. He's just saying if you laying up treasures for yourself and you're not rich toward God. So if you have things towards God, know that it comes from God. And then be rich towards God as well. Make sure God has your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, let me. I wrote down some contemporary translations. Look at verse 15 again. It says, take heed, beware of covetousness, for man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. In the contemporary English version, it says, then he said to the crowd, don't be greedy. Owning a lot of things won't make your life safe. In the Good News Bible, it says, and he went on to say to them all, watch out and guard yourself from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of things you own, no matter how rich you may be. I like those different versions, breaking it down. Let me take you one more place. Oh, if we have time. Let's go one more place. Go back to Jeremiah. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah. So important that during the Christmas season and any other season that God has our heart. There will always be a competition in this life between stuff having your heart and God having your heart, between people having your loyalty and God having your loyalty.
Yes.
We have to be loyal to God.
Yes.
And God works it all out from there. David prayed for Solomon to have a heart after God, to have a loyal heart, because, I mean, honestly, we all could say if God doesn't have our heart, we don't know what we're capable of doing in any situation, in any given time. And this is where I want to just touch really briefly, and we'll probably have to pick it up next week. But did I say Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And I don't normally highlight in my Bible. I normally make notes right in my Bible, but I had to highlight some of this stuff in Jeremiah. It was that good. If you're there, say amen. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Thus saith the Lord, underline that because this is God speaking. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in mankind. Wow. If you got all your trust in this world and mankind, God said, that's a curse. And it says, and make it flesh or make it people. His arm or his strength. And whose what? And whose heart departed from God. Underline, there's that word heart again. God said, if you depended on man and you trusted in man in this world and that's and people are your strength, and God doesn't have your heart, you're under a curse. All right, with that one, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Guess we got some decisions to make as we finish this year out. Verse 6, he says, for he shall be like the heath, or like a little, a naked, translated a naked bush, a naked tree in the desert. Now, you know you're in bad shape. You're not just a tree, but you're a shrub. You're a naked shrub in the desert. No protection, no covering, no nothing. And you shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. And in the salt land and not inhabited. You are in bad shape. And if you take it back up, it's saying if you trusted in man, you in bad shape and your heart's departed from the Lord. Verse 7. Oh, but here's the opposite. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Underline that. Verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water. So when we're in God, we're like a tree planted by the waters. We're always watered. We're always refreshed. We always renew. We're growing. We're living. We're alive. We're vibrant. That spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. You don't even recognize when stuff comes your way because your trust is in God. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. You don't even worry about when stuff dries up. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You're always fruitful when you trust and when God has your heart. And then that's why it shifts it in verse 9. He says the heart is deceitful. Just with all that, he's saying it's about your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. Watch out. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God is saying, if I don't have your heart, you're capable to do anything. Does that mean my time is up? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. That word search means investigate. God is investigating your heart. God is investigating my heart. And family, I tell you this, that's why I tell you every morning, get up a few minutes early and give your heart, give your mind, give your strength, give everything you have to God. Because your heart's going to be tested during the course of the day.
Yes.
I wish I could tell you, you get to a certain age or a certain mature level in God and you don't have to worry about your heart being tested. Oh, I'm telling you right now. every day. Something's going to be vying for your heart, trying to take it away from God. It takes a conscious effort to make sure God has your heart. If somebody comes, well, if I come here and say, I'm just going to preach from my heart today, y'all need to leave. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all. Who can know it? Pastor, I want you preaching from the word, not from your heart.
Amen. Yes, yes.
I trust God has your heart, but I want to hear what the word says.
Yes.
And as you're in your relationships, don't just give anybody your heart.
Amen.
Give your heart to God, and then he can discern who's for you and who's not.
Yes, yes, yes.
Worst thing we can do is give somebody who's not worthy of our heart our heart.
Yes.
Give it to God and then pray, God, show me whose heart is like this heart.
Yes.
And who's going to guard this heart? We're under a curse if we're trusting in man. And if our heart is departed from God, let's get back where we're blessed because we're trusting in the Lord. Verse 7, again, blessed is the man, mankind, man or woman that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Let your heart, let your hope be in the Lord. And the rest we're going to have to pick up next week. Amen.
Amen.
Let us go ahead and pray before we dismiss. As we are closing out the year, what a gift to give to God and to yourself, giving God your heart. Wow. As we're closing out this year, as we're evaluating our life, I guess that's what a year does. You kind of sit back and evaluate, where am I at? Where am I going? What am I going to do with my life? When am I going to get serious about God? And then God sends a message like this to all of us. As I'm studying it, I'm convicted. Like, God, I got to make sure you always have my heart. Got to make sure I don't go astray. Did I begin to think that I did something? But it's all about you, Lord. Thank you for letting us know that our life doesn't consist of the stuff that we have. Stuff is going to come and go. Unfortunately, our neighbor across the street passed away. They already got 3 bids on her house. Is that what I worked for so hard? And soon as I'm gone, they can't wait to. And then they're going to come in and change everything that you thought looked so nice anyway. Your life doesn't consist of the things, in the abundance of the things that you possess. God, let us hear that this morning. I don't want to get stuff, God. I want to get you. Lord, I want to give you my heart. I don't want to play games with you. I don't want to be under a curse, trusting in man and my job and stuff and people. I want to be under the blessing. Lord, you're my hope. If you don't come through, Lord, then it's just not my time. It's just not meant to happen. But I'll wait on you. And in our Bible study yesterday with the men, we were reading a scripture out of Romans where it talked about how tribulation worketh patience, and in patience experience. And because of what we experience, it works out hope. So all the stuff you go through leads you to hope, knowing that God's done it. God's always been there and God's going to always be there. Our hope should be in the Lord. Because of the tribulation and the patience and the experience, it gets to hope. We know that God's done it. He's going to do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. My hope is in God. I don't care what's going on. I know God's brought me from where I was to where I am now, and I'm hoping in God that he's going to continue to move me forward. So, Lord, we want to pray right now. It might be someone here who say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. If you want to accept Jesus Christ so your hope can be in the Lord. Go ahead and elevate your hand if that's you. You want Jesus Christ into your heart for the first time. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've had Christ, but I've been out doing my thing again. And I've been trusting in mankind, and I feel the curse I've been under because nothing's going right. I need to rededicate my life and get back under the blessings of God. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, go on and elevate your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, well, I'm looking for a church home, and I love the worship. I love the word. I love the people. And I know I can find my purpose and my method and move forward here. And I need to be somewhere where the word is being taught, where they're teaching about God, where I can learn about God and fulfill my life in God. If you're here and you need a church home, I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. If that's you, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask those who elevated their hand to come up quickly. For membership, Brother Tommy, and I believe it's Sister Lisa. Is it Lisa? Come on up, Lisa.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Oh, come on up. God bless you, Sister Lisa.
Thank you.
Let's join hands quickly. I'm going to ask some of my men and ladies to come up. Lisa's coming up for salvation. Brother Tommy's coming up for membership. And we just want to come and just surround you with our love and let you know we got you covered. What a great day it is. What a beautiful day it is that God is still moving. God is touching hearts and lives and rebuilding lives and repairing lives. And we thank God for that.
Yes.
So we're going to pray for Sister Lisa.
Yes. Thank you.
And Lisa, this is your first time accepting Christ into your heart?
Yes.
Amen.
Glory.
Thank God what he's doing. Lisa, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Amen. And family, if you would just repeat it as well. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for shedding your blood for me.
Thank you for shedding your blood for me.
Thank you for raising on that third day.
Thank you for raising on that third day.
Thank you for cleansing me, Lord.
Thank you for cleansing me, Lord.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
Right now, Lord Jesus.
Right now, Lord Jesus.
I accept you into my heart.
I accept you into my heart.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And create me to be the person.
And create me to be the person.
That you designed me to be.
That you designed me to be.
I love you with my life, Lord.
I love you with my life, Lord.
I commit my life to you.
I commit my life to you.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet as we have to dismiss quickly because the other service is coming in. And let's just grab somebody's hand and let's just pray as we dismiss. And then Sister Lisa and Brother Tommy are going to get some information from you. And Mom as well. Amen, Mom. Lord, we thank you as your God and as you're looking down on us, Lord, and you see our hearts. Praying right now for loyal hearts, loyal to you, committed to you. Seeking you. As you said, you search our hearts, Lord. And you told us to seek you. That same word is to investigate, Lord. You're investigating our heart. We're investigating you, Lord. And we see that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we love you, Lord. Now, as only you can do, go before us, Lord, and then go with us, because you're everywhere. You're omnipresent. Thank you for Lisa. Thank you for Mom. Thank you for Tommy, Lord. Thank you for their decision, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all those who made a decision and didn't come up, Lord, I thank you for their life. Thank you for our visitors today. Thank you for the South Bay Abundant Life family.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we love you on today, Lord. Now go with us. Be with us, Lord, until we meet again on Wednesday night or next Sunday. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give somebody a hug. You are dismissed.
Bless you.
Bless you, man. Glad to have you, man.
Yeah.
Glad to have another one of my big brothers rolling with me. And love you, man. Yeah, call me about. Yeah, show up. Just show up at 4. We'll be there.
Do I need this rubber and just show up?